Hello and welcome to You Just Got Homeschooled. I'm RJ, and I've been gone for a while. If you haven't noticed, it's been 2+ weeks since I've recorded, and even now I'm recording with my youngest strapped to my chest because I found a few minutes and I was like, I need to do this. I've been not necessarily putting it off, but just struggling to find the time for the peace and the quiet and all that stuff to get it done. So I just want to pop in real quick and kind of explain where I've been and also kind of what I've been seeing and what I've been reading, and then I should follow up with a few more podcasts in the near future that kind of talk about some of that stuff. So first off, we just hit the middle of our school year, the end of first semester and the beginning of second semester since I last recorded. So that means that I've been dealing with a lot of students who are high schoolers in particular that are making that jump from first semester to second semester. And that means that there's dealing with the students who fail classes, making sure that everyone is on track to start their second semester classes if it's a two-semester class, helping people navigate concurrent enrollment, which if you don't know what that is, that's where a high school student has the opportunity to go and attend a junior college class and receive high school credit for it. So I help facilitate that via the institution I currently work for and the job that I currently have that pays the bills. And so I've been helping with that a lot, just kind of helping people get the paperwork they need to do concurrent enrollment and helping them make the transition, making sure that everything is in line legally so that the students are on track to graduate. And even like yesterday, I filled out some forms to start the process looking forward for my seniors this year who are starting their second semester and are moving into the final days of their senior year and doing the paperwork that's required for our institution to start to look into what they've done already, make sure that they've met all the requirements and prepare for them to graduate. So that's what I've been up to. That's why I've been gone. I also was sick for a little bit with a cold, and I figured it doesn't sound so great when you record with a cold. So I postponed for that for a few days, and my wife and I were actually on what's called a Whole30. It was a diet for 30 days to kind of reset our systems after the holidays. Initially, she was just going to do it, and she asked me to do it with her, and I decided that I would support her in that way, and it was good for both of us and good for our family, although a little bit hard because after a few days, you're just ready for, I was missing peanut butter personally and a few other things. My wife was missing milk in her coffee. So, but that was good as well. But in the interim, right, since the last time I recorded, there's been a few things that I've noticed, I've seen over and over and over again that I want to relay to you. In fact, what kind of prompted me to come out here right now and record this was I was scrolling through my YouTube feed, because if you've listened for any length of time, you know that I spend a lot of time learning things on YouTube because I'm a nerd, I guess, and I like that kind of stuff. And so I bounce around to all sorts of things. And one of the channels that I subscribe to, I saw a video that he published 7 months ago. But I'm just now seeing, it's a 43-minute video, and this YouTuber typically does about 12 to 20 minute videos, a whole video with him and his wife talking about why they decided to leave public education. Now, this is the first time I've seen that from him, but I have been seeing more and more people across the country. This particular YouTuber, I think, lives in Georgia, somewhere southeast, so Texas, Georgia, somewhere like that. But I've seen more and more people in the areas that I watch, the YouTubers or podcasts that I listen to, that are not necessarily of my own, like their bread and butter is not education, right? Or not even technically a faith-based thing. They're just people out and about. And more of them are leaving the public institutions pulling their kids out of public institutions for a variety of reasons. And I find it very telling and very interesting that it's not just happening here in California where I live, which there are lots of reasons to leave the public institutions here in California, but it's happening across the country. The more and more people are pulling their kids out, and it's basically for the same reason, at least as far as what I've heard and seen. And it has to do with the fact that schools no longer seem to be interested in educating your kids. Instead, they seem to be interested in meeting whatever standards have been set forth by the government They seem to be interested in making sure your kid believes the way that they've been told to believe, oftentimes in direct contradiction to the moral or, yeah, basically the moral values of that particular family. And they've moved into teaching kind of a dogmatic doctrine of belief rather than educating your kids on necessary, important, facts. In fact, the standards here in California for English and math do not actually, well, because they're basically on Common Core standards, do not actually attend to accomplishment of specific things often, like specific types of problems like multiplication, division, but instead they're more about can you, understand equations? Can you articulate your own opinions through written and verbal means, stuff like that, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it, as an educator, as a human being, I am a little bit skeptical when all of a sudden there is an evaluation or we're evaluating kids not on what they know, like objectively know, like, can you tell me this, that, or the other thing? In fact, my oldest daughter is in fifth grade, and fifth grade is typically when you learn about states and capitals, at least in California. And so we were looking through, or we were talking about that the other day and saying, oh, we need to, decide on a date to have, or to like basically have you do the test, which is get a map of the United States out, blank map, have you label all the states and mark all their capitals and label them. She's like, nope, can't do it. And I'm like, we are not having, like, this is not going to happen. You need to know the states and the capitals because, not because it's some, great patriotic thing, but because there's something about applying yourself to a particular set of knowledge that I think is valuable. And so we wanted to do that for her, but no longer, by and large, do publicly funded schools do those type of things. They might in your area, I hope they do, but here in California, it's getting less and less. In fact, I was talking to some colleagues recently who are predominantly elementary school teachers, and they were saying, like, yeah, they didn't do social studies and science on a regular basis because basically between kindergarten and fifth grade, they're almost exclusively focused on math and English. And I feel that's a travesty because really the important part of life, or the important things to learn in life, I think are the reasons to learn things fit more into science and history or social studies than they do into English and math. Not because English and math are unimportant, but like I've said many times on this podcast, you do math in the service of science or economics, right? You don't do math for math's sake ever. And English or communication through the English language is done in the service of social studies in some way, shape, or form, whether it's sociology, history, anthropology, psychology, what would be called the social sciences or soft sciences. That's why you learn to communicate and you use English as a medium for that. Instead, we focused on the skills, quote unquote skills, rather than on the motivating factors behind them. And I think that that's unfair. My kids love science. They love learning about science. And they'll do the math if it gets them the end result that they want, which is an experiment that looks really cool. It blows up or burns or whatever else. But they're less likely to do math for math's sake. So there's that. Secondarily, I've been reading a book, and I'm hoping to do like a short book review here shortly, called Shop Class as Soul Craft. And it's been interesting, and I'll share more about it. But basically, he has a PhD in political philosophy, I believe, and he has been deconstructing, in a sense, not necessarily corporate America, but like the corporate structure, the place of management, and education as a means to an end, and kind of talking about what that is and what it means and what it's looked like in the United States. And so that, and then combined with these YouTubers and podcasters and all these other people that I have kind of in my vision, right, my field of vision, I'm seeing a trend more and more in our country to say, you know what, I do care about my kids. And I care about my kids more than I care about my freedom to, not have them for 7 or 8 hours a day. And I care about my kids more than, or enough to not let them be told what to think and be functionally bullied into thinking a certain way because of the way that public institutions now, schools in particular, tend to deal with dissidents in thought. I mean, I know from my own life, I remember being in high school, right? This is 15 years ago, more than 15 years ago. I remember walking around campus and seeing kids with Black Pride shirts on and Brown Pride shirts on. And I remember being struck by that and thinking that was odd because I knew it was not would not be acceptable to wear white Pride shirts, and for good reason. And it just confused me as to why that was allowed at all. I remember when I was living in Central California, a court case or an instance and then a news report and then a court case that followed that was a result of some students at an adjacent, like a city nearby, wearing t-shirts that had American flags on them, not like anything particularly aggressive, just had American flags on them. And they were told to either remove their shirts or take, you know, wear them inside out on the 5th of May because it's Cinco de Mayo and that might offend Hispanic students. And I was just blown away because I'm like, not that there were students who came forward and said they were offended. Admin just took the step to say, you can't do this because people might be. And that just blew my mind. Like, it's, first off, it's not a Mexican holiday. If you're not aware of that, Cinco de Mayo is not a holiday celebrated in Mexico. It's a Mexican-American holiday. And at what point do you not get to exercise a freedom of expression or freedom of speech as simple as wearing a t-shirt that has an American flag on it simply because it might offend someone? And that just blew my mind. And so I think people are leaving the public school system for those reasons, because they're saying, wait a second, I don't want my kid to be taught something directly contradictory to what we as a family believe. I don't want my children to be undereducated because the teacher is more focused on some political platform, some social platform or truth, rather than teaching my kid this. I had a student last year, actually, and she was a concurrent enrollment student. She was enrolled in a junior college class in our town. She had a theater class, and her takeaway from the theater class was less about how to do theater well and more about the kind of things you have to believe in order to succeed in theater. And that wasn't even explicitly stated, just stuff like gender fluidity and institutional racism and stuff like that. And that's in a theater class that's supposed to be about acting, right? Or at least theater arts, whether that be set design or whatever else. And yet it was so part and parcel of the institution that it came out through the professor. And so if you're one of those families that is either contemplating leaving the public sector or public school system, you know, I strongly encourage you to continue to consider. Think about what it, you know, what is it that you're looking to get out of homeschooling and what is it that you are looking to leave behind from regular schooling. And if you're one of those families that has already made that jump and have come over to what I consider the light side, where your kid gets to learn individually and gets to be taken care of and educated, not necessarily in a coddled sense, but educated in a way where they know that their parents care, that they are sure to master skills rather than to just have been introduced to them. Be encouraged that you're not the only ones, that more and more people are doing this as more and more of our children on a national level are being sold down the river or thrown under the bus in the hopes of creating a population that thinks the way that they've been told, and are being dictated to, teachers are being dictated to, admin is being dictated to, and students are being dictated to, as to what they need to believe and when, and what they need to learn and when. I mean, that's been one of the biggest eye-opening things for me as a educator moving into the homeschool space, and that is that somehow some legislature or grouping thereof, at the advice of some person with a PhD who's probably never met a child or at least hasn't spent a significant amount of time in a classroom, has decided what is educationally appropriate for a second grader to learn. and a third grader and a fourth grader and a fifth grader, and has made it into law that if you do not teach a fifth grader this level of history or this type of history at fifth grade, that somehow you are failing them as a individual and as a society. So like, for example, sixth grade is ancient history. Apparently, at least in California law, if you don't teach ancient history at sixth grade, somehow they're going to be permanently damaged. Even if you teach it in fifth grade or in seventh grade, it has to be sixth grade in order for it to meet standards. And if you're not doing it, you're not providing a legitimate education to the student. And that just blows my mind. Because if I got a fourth grader who loves ancient history, I'm going to teach him ancient history. And if I got an eighth grader who loves U.S. history, I'm going to teach him U.S. history, regardless of whether or not that's where the standard's at. And that doesn't mean we don't push them, right, when they need to be pushed. We don't encourage them to do things they don't necessarily want to do, or we don't present them with opportunities or make them do stuff even that they don't want to do. But the fact that a legislature who doesn't deal with my kid dictates to me what I ought to teach them and when, right? Here in California, it is now expected that kindergarten teachers have the kids reading sentences by the time they leave. Meanwhile, statistics show that the natural age to read is 7 or 8. That doesn't mean your kid can't read at 5 or 4. It just means that if they're presented the opportunity, they develop the desire to read somewhere around 7 and 8 more often than not. Yet, they're supposed to be reading by the time they leave kindergarten, which is around 5. And statistics have shown that kids who are forced to learn to read, although they may read relatively well, don't like it. And what good is that? Well, it depends on what your goal in education is, right? My goal in educating is to have children that grow up to be lifelong learners and have the tools to do it. The education system's goal in education is to make sure they have the skills and the thought processes to go into the workforce, maybe, to go to college, which is another bureaucratic institution, to get a degree, probably in a field that doesn't have jobs in it or doesn't have enough jobs in it, in order to be educated so that they can, and that's just left blank. And that blows my mind. So either way, if you're new or you're thinking about becoming a homeschooler, please consider these things. And if you already are a homeschooler, be encouraged that you're not alone and the community is growing, and please look around you and find people that are newer and help them. Because all of us that are in this boat need to stick together. We all find ourselves in a situation where every day is a new location right on the map. We're in new territory. And as our kids get older, we need more help and we need more insight and we need more options and more just moral support, to be honest, because homeschooling can be very difficult when you spend all day with your kids and all night with your kids, and you're responsible for, you know, not only their meals, but their education. It can be a big burden, and it helps to have friends who are in a similar place, kids that, you know, maybe you could share the workload and just, you know, be encouraged by people who've been there before you and said, you know what? Yeah, it was hard then and it may be hard now, but you'll get through it. So please like, subscribe, hit the buttons, do the things, leave a review. Follow us on Instagram, Homeschooled Podcast. Check out our website, which is youjustgothomeschooled.com. Thanks and have a great day.